I, Roy Sellers Jr., Vice Mayor and President of Dover City Council, now call to order the council committee of the whole meeting dated Tuesday, July 27th, 2021 at 6 p.m. sharp. City Council, you have before you tonight's agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moves.
It's been properly moved by Councilman Rocha, seconded by Councilman Neal. All those in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. The Council and President invites Councilwoman Arndt to conduct the business of the Legislative Finance and Administration Committee. Councilwoman Arndt, you have the floor.
The Legislative Finance and Administration Committee is hereby called to order. You have the agenda before you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Moves.
Motion has been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion carries. First item on the agenda is the replacement of 2003 Pierce Lance engines 3 and 6. And I believe Mr. Harline is presenting this.
Chief Carey.
Chief Carey, would you like to come forward, state your name and position for us?
Good evening. My name is David Carey. I'm the fire chief at the fire department. Over the past few years, we've been working with the city management as far as replacing our apparatus and our capital improvements projects, as we do on a normal basis. And now it's time to replace two fire engines. With that, if you remember, in 2019, we purchased a rescue engine, which replaced our rescue truck. A rescue truck basically is a cab with a big box on the back of it full of tools. And when we replaced it, when we ordered it in 2019, we replaced it with a rescue engine, so it gave us multiple capabilities, gives us the ability to pump water and also perform the rescue capabilities within the city. So we've combined two apparatus, pieces of fire apparatus into one. With that, now that it's in service, it's functioning the way we expected it to. We're looking to replace both 2003 fire engines that we have with one. So we're actually downsizing by one fire engine, which in turn saves the city money and also saves us on maintenance some as well. We went through the bidding process through the procurement office here for the city of Dover. The bids were sent out through them. They were sent to three different vendors. We received one bid back, which was from Atlantic Emergency Solutions for a Pierce Enforcer fire engine. Listed at, the price came back at $729,900. It was budgeted in the CIP for $720. I don't see an issue with not being within our budgeted line item for the budget for this year. I don't see where we'll have an issue getting down to 720 at all. So that's where we stand with that. It takes about 9 months to get this piece of fire apparatus, depending on COVID parts and everything else. So if it were to pass council on August 9th, we would sign the contract and order it on the 10th. And hopefully have delivery by May of next year. When we do our financing for the fire engines, we do it through the city treasurer's office. Right now it's slated to be financed for 10 years with a tax-exempt loan that is shopped for by the city treasurer. This is a normal practice that we've done for several years when Donna Mitchell was the city treasurer. And I don't remember the person before that, but he did it as well.
Mike Carey.
Yes. So this fire engine has several upgrades to it. One, it's 3 feet shorter than what we currently have to allow us to get around town a lot easier. With the more congestion we have in the city, gives us more maneuverability. It's going to carry 750 gallons of water. It has a tire pressure management system. It has side roll protection, so it has airbags in it, which currently our fire apparatus now do not have fire apparatus, do not have airbags in them. At least the older fire apparatus don't. LED warning lights, seatbelt alarms. So the seatbelt alarms tells the driver and officer who is seatbelted and who's not for the safety of the crew. There's an alarm in there with a display that says a seat one does not have their seatbelt on, so we correct that before we go out the door. And the newer fire apparatus now have vehicle data recorders, kind of like an airplane, has a black box, which we haven't had in the past as well. So that's part of the new standard. And, of course, it has front airbags as well. So all the safety items that are listed improves the firefighter safety for our crew and also for the apparatus, as it does also have the advanced ABS system on it that keeps it from rolling over, supposed to keep it from rolling over. So that's where we stand with that. Do you have any questions? I have a couple pictures if you'd like to see what you're buying, and a drawing.
And with that, members of council and the committees, questions? Mr. Shabak?
Thank you. question that I have, did the other two people or companies that you sought bids from give any indication why they wouldn't bid on it?
As far as I know, there was no correspondence back.
Mr. Neal?
Yes, we have two vehicles that were going to be retired. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do they have any salvage value in terms of somebody else buying them?
Yes. So normally we sell them and buy the new equipment for the new fire truck. So the air packs that we wear on our back have a 15-year expiration date. Once they expire, if we were to get hurt and it was because of that air pack, then the fire department would be liable for that injury. So we normally purchase those type of items with the money from the sale of the fire truck. Right now, one of them may have a blown engine. We'll find out more as that goes on. That was told to me today. So we may just sell it as it is, or we may just fix it. We'll see. We'll see where it pans out. There's a couple of things that it could be. It could be a blown engine or a turbo. Hopefully it's the turbo.
One additional question. Since we're going down by one, do we still have enough equipment in both of our firehouses to take care of people on that side as well as the downtown area?
Yes. So when we bought the rescue engine, it gave us that extra pump because now that rescue engine has a pump on it where the rescue truck never had a pump on it. The rescue truck didn't carry any water. It was just a toolbox on wheels, basically. So we have not lost any capability for the city.
You guys are terrific. Thank you very much. I yield the floor.
Councilman Hare?
I'd just like to make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Mr. Content, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just had a question about the kind of the timing and the budgeting. We currently plan to replace this truck this year in the budget anyways, right? I think I'm reading that correctly.
That's correct.
And we have two other trucks that we're still currently financing.
That's correct.
And then we're expecting another truck to be replaced next year, a ladder truck. And
yes.
Then 2 years after that, we're expecting engine four to be replaced.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm glad that all this is in the budget and that we're planning ahead for that. Is any of this going to be covered by grant money?
No, we haven't applied for any grant money for the fire apparatus. We haven't looked at that at all, no.
Can you guys, I fully intend to vote in favor of this, and I appreciate being able to replace two trucks with one truck that will not lower our quality of fire service at all. But if you guys could look at grant programs, particularly through the state, I know they've got a lot of money that they're trying to figure out how to spend, and if there's any way that we can pull some of that in for our own fire service and getting some of these trucks replaced, then we can save the money for the citizens of Dover and spread that around to other departments.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Can I add on to help explain?
Of course.
So everyone understands the fire department CIP. We try to replace a fire engine every 15 years. We try to replace the fire engine every 15 years. So every 3 to 5 years, we're ordering a new fire engine. Every 7 years, we should be ordering a ladder truck because we have 2 ladder trucks. So when we order one at the 7-year mark, the one we're selling is 15 or 16 years old, if that makes any sense. And then same for the engines. As we order one this year, as you said, in 2 years, we're going to be ordering one to replace engine 4. By the time it gets in, it's going to be 15, 16 years old. So we have a rotation going to keep them on a cycle. It seems like a lot right now, but over the course of time, it's actually spread out. It just happens to be that there's a ladder truck hitting in between 2 fire engines, which isn't normally the norm for us because we only have 2 ladder trucks.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Councilman Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you work with, or can you work with Lisa on this, our grant writer? If grants are available, and that's what she does, can we have her involved in this process?
Lisa and I have had conversations recently about a couple of different things that we're looking into. The fire department also has a grant writer that they've hired. Right now we're looking at a grant for recruitment and retention, which includes training, hopefully some turnout gear for these people that hopefully that we plan on recruiting with this money, social media, advertising, hopefully making a recruitment video. So we're in the process of that as well. It's called the AAFG grant, the Firefighter Assistance Grant. So, yes, we have a couple of different avenues we can work between Lisa and our person as well.
I believe Mr. Content has brought up a very good point. $700,000 is a lot of money. So if we can find a grant or some type of financial assistance on this, please pursue that.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
We can work on that.
Okay, I believe we have a motion on the floor that's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Second item on the agenda is the discussion of regular council meeting start time. And Mr. Hare, I believe you are up for that.
Yes, this is something I mentioned and brought up, that the possibility of having our meetings starting at 6:30 versus 7:30, with the exception of the annual meeting, which the charter says would be at 7:30. I think it would get us in and be a lot better for everyone. We do have some long meetings, and on the occasion, not every meeting we have an executive session. I think we can work with that. But Mr. Anderson has said he's okay with the 6:30 start time. He asked that to be put on the record. And that's really all I have to say.
Thank you. I would like to share that I received a message from Councilman Lindell. He expressed his support for a 7 p.m. start time. Therefore, the public session could start at 6:45, and that would allow time for executive session to begin at 5:30. However, he is not opposed to the 6:30 start time, so I'll just put that out there. Any other comments, questions from council? Councilman Neal.
Yeah, I basically can support this. I can split earlier time. My concern is with the fact is that, except for several of us, we are working in jobs that basically pay our living, and we're not. These are part-time jobs for members of the council. So unless it basically affects the members of the council and their work. Of their ability to leave work to be here on that time, I will support the 6:30 start time unless there's a compromise to it, simply because the earlier we get done, we go if there's a long meeting, then the people who are tuned in on television or video or here will be able to stay here and be able to capture everything that's going on with great transparency. My only concern is with my colleagues. Can you do this? Does it work for you? It works for me. Thank you.
Others? Comments? Councilman Rocha?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a problem with it. I'd be able to make it either at 6:30 or 7 o'clock. It's fine with me. So earlier the better, though, I think. That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Taylor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm also in support, though I thought it was a great idea when you brought it up. And I am, Councilman Neal, I am one of the ones who's affected by the earlier start time being an entrepreneur. However, I do see the benefit in us getting out a little bit earlier. So I am in support.
Any further discussion? What is the pleasure of council?
Move that we accept.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just one point. This would not become effective until the first meeting in September.
Agreed. Mr. Shavak?
Yes. Would that be the 6:30 or 7 o'clock start?
6:30.
Okay. The motion is for a 6:30 start time that begins in September. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Third item on the agenda is the evaluation of new monthly reports by the mayor, council president, and members of city council. And council president, I believe you are leading that discussion.
Thank you, Councilwoman Arndt. My fellow colleagues, when I asked you to do the director's report, it's not mandatory. At this point, this would somewhat make it mandatory and hold anyone accountable. So at this point, we have come to a crossroad where you can decide whether it's something that you're interested in doing or something that you think may not be necessary. And that's why I brought it to council. So we'll all have the vote and have the say in the process. I yield my time back to Madam Chair. Arndt.
Okay, so it's open for discussion. Councilman Neal.
Yes. I have two thoughts. First off, I think it becomes extremely important to understand that beyond the fact that we have the council as a whole meeting and, of course, the regular city council meetings, that the city council is working on a continual basis based on the fact that our constituents have problems they bring to us. It's my practice to basically to copy the other members of the council on what is exactly happening when these come in, and they can actually see the work done by the staff as we work to correct things, whether it deals with lighting or what deals with parking or what deals with trash or overgrown areas in the city. I think it's also extremely important that the public understands that this is happening. It's like they think we don't do anything when we basically are doing things on a continual basis. So the publicity that it would generate is fine. I think the best forum for it would be here, because I think when you get when we're here at the council, we're discussing things on a much looser basis, and we can have staff come in. When it's resolved, it can be brought to council for action. So that's what the council purpose is for actionable items. I think that we can have it, if you wish it, to be here, because I heard Councilman Rocha talk about the necessity or someone asking for help with crosswalks. Well, we don't know what happened with those crosswalks. We know that a request was made. But I think at the point that it's made and we discuss it or bring it up here, then you can come back to council when it has it done and to report that it was done, this is what occurred. Meanwhile, you know exactly what's happening. So I think that if we're going to have it, the best place to have it is here, or certainly share that information between us so that we know what's happening in each of the districts. I do it for you. I certainly would welcome it if you would do it for me to let me know what's happening in other areas, because surprisingly, some of those things are the same things that we're dealing with, whether it's dealing with crime we're dealing with other aspects of the everyday life of our citizens here. So that's my comments on it. I don't object. I basically think that if we're going to do it, it should be here, and if there's anything actionable that happens, it should be at the council meeting, at the regular council meetings on the Mondays. I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilman Neal. Others? Councilman Taylor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with you, since that this environment, we can discuss it in depth. I agree with you there. I also agree with the way President Sadler had it set up in the very beginning, because more people were being affected at the meeting versus here. At least that was my opinion. But in bringing forth the issue of the tributaries like I did, this would have been the perfect forum for it versus bringing it up during a meeting. I didn't want anyone to feel blindsided. There were some other things that Councilman Hare and I had been discussing, but we decided that we wouldn't bring those up because of time constraints and because of just, again, not wanting to blindside someone. And it's just a discussionable item there. It's an actionable item here. So I agree with you as I talk myself through this. I agree with you. I think, Mr. President, I believe that if we were going to continue this, I would support us doing it during Council of the Whole versus the Monday meetings. I yield.
Others? Councilman Neal?
Yeah, I want to compliment Councilman Taylor. Twice now, he has brought excellent proposals for us with cameras, with photographs, and the like. And that deals with perhaps our own little river walk that's possible. And then, of course, the presentation that he made. And I think here is the place to do it. And hopefully that we could take the action back to the council and act upon those things. So my compliments to you. I do not forget. And I know who did brought them. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Content, did you have a point of discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that it's a good idea to talk about what you guys are doing, what your constituents are bringing to you. It gives that public forum and record so that people know that their concerns are being heard and addressed. And I think that it would be a great idea to move it to this committee, again, as an actionable item, if for no other action than to refer to staff for further research or to come up with a solution to bring back to committee and then send it on to council. That's all I had to say.
Thank you. What is the pleasure of council?
Question is this actionable, and is it something that the council president will take under consideration and decide that to do it rather than make it something that has to happen? This is voluntary anyway. There's nothing in the charter that says you have to do this. So if he's going to do this as a program, then I think it really is up to him. I don't think we have to take an action formally. It's a discussion that was done in public. It's transparent, and what he decides and says, let's do it during council session, doing at council the whole sessions rather than council, then we follow along with it. But I don't think you have to take anything formal. At least that's my opinion.
Council President?
Thank you. This is an actionable item. That's why it's on the agenda. However, I would move that we accept the consensus of City Council at this present moment as a whole, the committee as a whole, and have the platform for the director's report, district report, in this form here in the council committee of the whole meeting. So I would move, that's a motion, so I would move that the district reports be reported in the council committee of the whole meeting.
Second.
Discussion.
The motion has been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Councilman Taylor.
Thank you very much. Are we talking once a month, or are we talking twice a month? How often are you seeking these reports, sir?
Once a month, as the initial plan.
Second or fourth?
First, it'll be the first Tuesday, the first council committee of the whole meeting same format, except it's not in the city council regular meeting, but in this meeting.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Discussion.
Councilman Rocha?
Yes. Are you requiring that this be in written format or just verbalized in the midst of the meeting?
That's pretty much left up to the representative of that district. If he feels something that needs visual aid, like as Councilman Taylor and Councilman Hare provided in the last meeting, which I found to be pretty effective, if it calls for that, then you may do so. It's pretty much at your discretion.
Councilman Hare?
My only concern is I don't want to see us get to have a time limit to where, because I don't want to see us if we have a large agenda on the committee of the whole and then we add these on there and we're here till 10:30 at night or something. You know, maybe because it doesn't take, it shouldn't take too long just to say, here's an issue that needs to be addressed. Could staff look into it and then get back to us at the next committee of the whole? Yeah. So we have some type of a time limit, 10 minutes or something. I don't, or not at all. If we don't need anything, then we don't have to report anything.
Council President?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair Arndt. I think in our last correspondence, I think we said 3 minutes, no more than 3 minutes for that report. And if you don't have a report, if you don't have anything to report, that's just fine. This just provides an opportunity for you to report.
Any further discussion? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Third item on the agenda, I believe, is to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. I turn it over to Councilman Taylor for the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman Arndt. Thank you. Great job. We appreciate you filling in. Excellent job. The Council President now invites Councilman Taylor to conduct the business of the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee. Councilman Taylor, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I call to order Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee meeting at this time. There's one item on the agenda. First of all, I will accept a motion to adopt the agenda as written.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, we move forward. First item is the Dover Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan update. This is an action item. There is a recommendation to adopt this particular plan by the Metropolitan Planning Organization. There will be a presentation. And Marilyn, come on up and talk to us. Marilyn is the executive director of the Kent County, of Dover Kent County Metropolitan Planning Organization. She is accompanied by Leah Cassanda, who is the project manager for WRI, a consultants firm. How have you been?
I'm well. How are you?
Never better. Never better. The floor is yours.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself and tell us.
I'm from here now. So for those of you who have not had the pleasure to meet, I am Marilyn Smith, and I'm the new director at the MPO. I accepted the position in December and moved to Delaware in February. So it's a pleasure to be here for the first time, and it's really a pleasure to be here live in person. It's nice to get out and actually see people in person. As the chairman mentioned, Leah is joining me, and she's going to give you the presentation. The project partners on this project are the City of Dover and LDOT. So Leah is going to give you some background on the project, walk you through the process that was used to engage the public, which, as you know, was kind of interesting because this all started before we all ended up being in quarantine. So Leah will talk about that a little bit, and then she'll explain how the recommendations were developed and then give you a look at the recommendations, and then we'll leave some time for some questions. Just so you know, the MPO's Public Advisory Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee both saw the presentation at their regular April meetings, and then the council did react to the presentation in May and forwarded it to the city for further action. So I will leave it to Leah.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you all for having me this evening. So, as discussed, had a very good partnership going for this plan development with the MPO, providing administrative support, but really the client was you, the city. Spent a lot of time reviewing information with DLDOT as well along the way. So really, the purpose of this document was to integrate the recommendations of a bunch of previous plans, including the Dover Bicycle Plan, which dated 2015, the pedestrian plan, which was completed the same year, two separate documents, and the regional bike plan, which dates 2017, and also apply the guidance from the statewide bicycle plan blueprint for a bicycle-friendly Delaware. As you are all well aware, the comprehensive plan for the city was also under being updated this past year, so really wanted to integrate recommendations from the transportation section of that document. And a concept I'm going to touch on briefly today is level of traffic stress, which is a new concept in bicycle planning that the state is using and that we use to generate this document. So public involvement, as Marilyn said, you know, we were interrupted midway through this process by COVID, which was very unfortunate, but we were able to kick the process off with a public workshop back in 2019 in the fall. Right next door at the library, had a number of folks present for that and staff from the city as well as the MPO and DLDOT available. And we did a lot of work then after that to incorporate the great recommendations we heard. And because we were not able to do an in-person meeting once we had a draft document, we instead posted the entirety of the plan for a full month for September of 2020. Folks were able to read that and peruse it at their leisure, and then provide feedback via an online survey. And we did receive comments from 9 individuals. Now, the document, and I apologize, the slide's a little hard to read, but hopefully you can read the larger words, which are kind of the 6 E's of active transportation, we like to call them, centered around equity. So, you know, it's not just about building a sidewalk or putting in a bike path. There's a lot that goes into it. So really wanting to make sure we're covering all of our bases, evaluating and planning, which of course was the focus of this document, but then getting into engineering, educating folks how to use these things properly so they are safe traveling through the city, encouragement. I'm sure many of you are aware of some of the bike rodeos and educational activities that the police department has done with youth in the past, and also enforcement. And all of that centering around equity, which I think dovetails very nicely with the recommendations from the transportation section of the comprehensive plan, which really identifies mobility as a very important thing that members of the public have a right to in the city of Dover. They have a right to get safely to where they need to go, whether or not they own a vehicle to drive themselves. So that's a big focus of this document. How did we develop these recommendations? So as I said earlier, we have a lot of planning that's been done already, which is really great, and I would like to commend you all for the work you've done over the course of the past decades to get to where we are now. The city has a great pedestrian sidewalk network already. DLDOT has done a ADA self-assessment plan. This map is a screenshot from that document that really looks at every single major sidewalk across the city and evaluates where there may be gaps or issues with ADA connectivity. And the MPO and DLDOT have done a number of standalone pedestrian plans. We did not regurgitate the recommendations from those because they're all very specific, but that includes looking at Delaware State University, Dover High School, the vicinity of the Transit Center. So all those documents are cross-referenced and recommended as appropriate. And all of that was supplemented with a GIS analysis. I briefly mentioned level of traffic stress earlier, and this, again, is kind of the new, not even new anymore, but the way we're viewing bike transportation planning. So I think we're all used to being out driving some nice country roads and seeing the spandex-clad bicycle warrior on the far right of the screen. Those folks are very comfortable riding pretty much anywhere, and you'll see them in a lot of places. But these days, we like to make sure when we're talking about bike infrastructure, we're talking about facilities that a child could use with a parent, you know, someone could get out and take advantage of. And what we call that is a low stress facility. Those folks aren't going to be out riding in a high stress, high traffic environment, but they will ride if there's a pathway. Unfortunately, Dover has a number of those in place already, but they don't connect you to everywhere you need to go. So this plan looked at identifying those gaps and filling them in with project recommendations. Fortunately, DLDOT is a great partner in this, and they have actually evaluated level of traffic stress for every road in the entire state. So we got to take advantage of the fact that they've done that evaluation. On the map on the screen, you'll see roads in red. Those are high stress. High stress is bad. and roads in dark green, that's low stress and good. And the really cool thing this does, and again, one being low stress, something a child could ride on with a parent accompanying them or even a teen by themselves, you see a lot of green on that map, more green than anything else. And what that tells us is neighborhood streets that are pretty low traffic, low speed, low volume, you don't need to do anything to them to make them bike friendly. They're bike friendly already, right? So what we need to do, though, is if someone goes out to ride their bike in their neighborhood, they're going to be stuck on those neighborhood streets. How do they get across the nearest red barrier to the nearby school or the nearby park or the nearby place to shop? So again, this document looks at connecting those gaps so that folks aren't stuck riding around circles in their own neighborhood but can get to some useful destinations. We looked at projects that are currently in the planning pipeline for DLDOT. They're in the Capital Transportation Program that Maryland's group at the MPO is very involved with. And then we figured out where else we need some new facilities. So project recommendations are grouped into three major categories. And the first is all users. That means people who walk and bike. We talked about pathways a little bit earlier. That's not just for bikes or just for people walking. It's for both, right? So, and that was one major benefit of merging the bicycle and pedestrian plan previously, because there are some projects that benefit all users. And I know you were all provided with a full copy of the plan and a handout that is keyed to these maps, so I'm not going to get into each project because I don't think I heard a lot about not wanting to be here very late. So if you have questions after I wrap up, I'm happy to entertain them about specific projects. There's a number of individual projects for people walking, so sidewalks. And you'll notice I'm using words like walking and biking instead of pedestrian and cyclist. And part of that is because we all walk. I think often when we say pedestrians, we lump that into another category of people, but every trip we take begins with a walk somewhere, so these facilities are really for everyone in Dover. And, of course, lastly, if the remote, there we go, projects for bikes. And again, these are roads that kind of close the gap in the existing low-stress network. Some of the streets highlighted on this are already low-stress, so they really don't need a lot. It might just be signage, some things that would slow traffic down, and some of them would be a full bike lane or something similar, or a protected bike facility. So the plan, again, includes a full-page write-up for each of these recommendations. And with that, are there any questions that myself or Marilyn could take?
Any questions from the committee? Mr. Neal, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, this was one of the most comprehensive reports that I've ever seen. And you're originally, the firm was from Baltimore originally, and I'm originally from Baltimore, so I knew it well, and I expected nothing less. And I want to tell you, I was very surprised because there was my picture cutting a ribbon with the secretary, and I'd love to steal it. I haven't been able to get it, but I'd love to steal it. If you know what I'm, which one I mean,
I'd
love to get it if I possibly could. I have one concern, and that was something that was done and approved. That I would love to have the MPO to take another look at to see if we can reroute a bike route that is now in front of the Benny Smith funeral home on West Division Street. If there's any way to take that route around the block, it would free up space that they didn't expect to lose when they do have a funeral. Now, if this was a liquor store, I could care less. But it happens to be that the Benny Smith firm have been terrific citizens. They have been a tremendous asset to the city of Dover. And I would love to find some sort of way that we could accommodate them. They agreed to it, but they didn't know that they were going to not be able to put a funeral procession there at the times that they have to have it. And so if there was any way that that could be done, that would be terrific. So I'm going to plant that seed any way that we possibly can to reroute in just a block or two before and just get them around and out so that that area by Benny Smith's funeral home, it gets cleared up. It's a congested area. That's why you have the protection that's been placed on there. Other than that, I love it. I will support it. And that's my only request. And thank you for making me a star, because I haven't been one for a long time.
Thank you, Councilman Neal, as eloquent as usual. Mr. President, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Taylor, for recognizing me. I want to echo a little bit of what Councilman Neal had brought forth to you. The perceived level of traffic stress encountered by the Benny Smith Funeral Home on West Division Street has quantified an enormous amount of safety concerns centered on the delineators and the amount of current and future proposed development in that particular area. Although City Council approved the project, there has been some recent development and discrepancies that leads me to inquire about an alternative such as an 8-foot multi-use pad. So my thing is, can we look at, when you go to look at the request from Councilman Neal, that the alternative would be the 8-foot multi-use pad, possibly, which is also experienced and encountered on Salisbury Street. They have that usage. I think we discussed that a little earlier. So if we can look into that, we would greatly appreciate it. I think that would bring a lot of relief to those individuals in that particular area. Thank you, and thank you for the great work that y'all have done. We appreciate it. I yield my time back to Councilman Chair Taylor. Thank you, sir, for recognizing me.
Thank you, Mr. President. The delineators have been a concern. It's been something that's been discussed again and again and again in these chambers prior to COVID and even afterwards. Ridgely Street, I believe that's where Mr. Neal is referring to. There's a street that's that runs parallel with Benny Smith. I understand his concerns, and I thank him for bringing about a solution and not just bringing a problem. I do believe that that's a viable solution. Now, how we get from where we are now to there, that's your job, Leah. But I do believe that we need to look at it. I do not believe that the intent was done to harm Benny Smith in any kind of way. That intent was not there. And I know DelDOT had done their due diligence, and getting it moved is going to be problematic, if not impossible. But whatever you can do would be greatly appreciated. This is an action item. The recommendation was by MPO to adopt this this bicycle plan. The plan was adopted by the MPO Council on May the 5th, 2020. I'll accept question. The most question, Council President.
Question. If we adopt this presentation, are we just adopting the presentation as a action item, or are we actually agreeing with the delineators and saying that we want the delineators there? Just point of clarity.
There is no way that we can include changes, whether it be to the delineator or to the rerouting the bicycle path at this particular time. So if we have to table this, we can do that as well, but we cannot vote on any changes at this particular time unless you know something I don't.
If I may, the plan itself does not actually, despite the pretty picture on the cover of my presentation, specifically reference the facility in question beyond saying it was installed. There's not a nuanced discussion of that. And, you know, what you saw kind of lines on a map are just that. They still need to, for any of these individual projects to advance, they'd need to go through the standard process, which is being taken up by the MPO as a capital project and carried forth, which would, and the plan does call for continued engagement, both with the general public and yourselves, before advancing any one project. There are recommended projects for priority in the back of the document, but again, that prioritization process moves into the hands of the MPO and DelDOT, depending on the scale of the project. So this is just a plan. It's a plan. There's nothing in it that is binding. It is there to put ideas forth for consideration to create a full bike network, but there's a lot in here and a lot of work to do. You know, as many of you are very familiar, plans set visions for 10, 15, 20 years out. So, but to your point, as far as facility goes and the delineator posts, there is a section of the document that lists types of bike facilities But all it says is this is what a shared use path is, this is its dimensions, this is what a protected bike lane is, which is what the pathway in question. It does not require any treatment type. Again, DelDOT has manuals and things that offer guidance on those, but there's a lot of flexibility when it comes to designing facility. Thank you.
Mr. Harline, did you have a response?
I did want to add just something really quickly. First of all, as you mentioned, WRA and Leah and her staff did a great job, the MPO. So, but, I mean, I guess there are a couple of options if you wanted to. You could add a note to the study or and accept it with a note from staff, or, I mean, we could, I mean, if it was to go to revision, we'd have to go all the way back to the MPO, I guess, for a revision. But accepting the report or accepting the plan doesn't mean that you can't continue to pursue some changes to the Senator Bikeway as it is now. But I think that it's a significant point, and I don't know, perhaps adding a note at the back of the report from the council that was something that you'd like to add to continue to be. I think if you leave it completely out of the plan, there is that chance it gets lost at this point. Now, there's no budget on any of these projects, so there's a lot more work to be done, and they did a great job with working with the staff, and we're working with and doing the best job to get public input, and I don't think any public input during that process suggested changing that pathway as far as I know. Go ahead, yeah.
So fortunately or not, generally when you say, we're having a public workshop for the bike plan, guess who comes out? People who care a lot about bike stuff, not people who hate it necessarily or dislike it for any number of reasons. So, you know, that's why this document says, in order to advance any of this, conversations with the whole community are required and really doing your due diligence, which I know DelDOT did for this particular project. But I think now, perhaps given the controversy around this facility, perhaps some more folks will come around the table, hopefully, as individual projects are moved forward for consideration.
And I think I think as much as the annoyance to Benny Smith, and I don't, you know, that we noticed is that there is, I think it does, there is some stress caused if we're emergency vehicles coming through, if you have, and it's a heavy traffic pathway. So I think that would be one thing we'd want to look at as well. It is a great, I mean, if you're a bike rider, and I have seen bike riders using this pathway, it makes it a much safer trip.
Absolutely.
This is. They did what that project is designed to do. It achieves what it's designed to do. There are some other ancillary, we learn from doing things.
Yeah, so it's closing one of those high stress gaps. And because of the number of barriers north to south across the city, high speed road 1, 13, waterways, all of that, east-west travel is the hardest direction of travel for bikes. And unfortunately, 8 is a choke point for everyone, right? You all need to get on it and use it. So a lot to fit in a small space, but I think perhaps a communication with DelDOT would go a long way to kind of open up the conversation around next steps, if I could.
Yeah. Councilwoman Art.
Thank you. I think it's a great plan, and I'm fully supportive. My question is about process and timing, and I think this question might be directed towards Ms. Chase, only in that I know you are working on the application for the bike-friendly community. And as I understand, that application is due very soon. And if we adopt this plan at this committee meeting tonight, another process question, does it then have to go to the next council meeting for full approval? And that would be the 9th of August. How does that fit with your timeline in the grant application and being able to state that we have an approved bike plan?
Please come to the mic, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Please state your name and position.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Chase, and I am a grant writer with the City of Dover. I'm also working on our bicycle-friendly application. The American League of Bicyclists have extended the deadline through, I think we have to have it uploaded by September 1st, just because they were asking communities to make sure that they have programming in place and also to address what was the loss during COVID, the different plans and whatnot. I would think it would be very helpful to state that we do have this plan approved tonight. I think I am going on the assumption that we are also plan would be approved tonight. A lot of the information that's in the application is coming from this plan. So did you want to bring up your part two?
Lisa and I met earlier today for full transparency, okay, just prior to this, okay, and we were discussing this, and we were discussing some other items. And one of the sticky areas right now when it comes to the bicycle-friendly community status, which we currently have bronze status, but one of the areas that is holding us up is we do not have a committee anymore. And without that committee, it seems to be a sticky point. So on the 10th, I have every intent of Lisa and I bringing this back to Committee of the Whole in hopes that we can bring forth a plan that we can introduce a new committee, one that is approved by all of council and one that will go solely by council's rules and regulations. And it would definitely help us when it comes to our bicycle-friendly status. Our goal is to be silver, not bronze. And we do need a committee to do so. If it's a committee of two, myself and Lisa, then so be it. But if it has to be more, then you want to join, Mr. Hare? Not tonight. So.
But yes, I would say council's adoption of this plan would be most helpful with this application.
Thank you. And I'm glad to hear that the deadline was extended, so we're not in so much of a time crunch.
Yeah, me too. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Chase. Anything else, Leah?
I'm great if you are. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. The recommendation from the MPO was to adopt the bicycle pedestrian plan. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion that we approve the plan with a notation in regards to the delineators in front of businesses to have a full discussion before that it is enacted, but that it's a move for approval with that note.
I second the motion made by Councilman Neal.
There's a motion on the floor and properly seconded that we adopt the bicycle pedestrian plan with the provision that we revisit the delineator discussion. It's been properly seconded as well. Any discussion on the motion?
Discussion.
Mr. President, floor is yours.
Thank you. Just wanted to let you know that I will be making a motion in regards to this topic after looks like we approve this motion. Thank you. I give my time back to Chair Taylor.
Thank you, sir. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Mr. President, floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Taylor, for recognizing me. Based on the discussion earlier, I would move that City Council declare the delineators on West Division Street, primarily in front of the Benny Smith Funeral Home, undesirable and potentially unsafe for that particular area. Therefore, Council would instruct the City Manager and Director of Planning and Zoning to meet with Del Dot to discuss an alternative, such as the multi-use 8-foot asphalt pad.
There's a motion on the floor by the President to revisit the delineator discussion to allow the City Planner and City Manager to meet with Del Dot.
Second.
Is there a second? It's been properly seconded by Councilman Rocha. Any more discussion? Councilwoman Art, floor is yours.
I wasn't expecting this discussion, so I don't feel that I have enough information about what the problems are, what the issues are with the delineators, and what the options are for improving that area. Because I've heard some say that it makes it much safer for bicyclists, and I just don't know enough about the situation to vote yes for that.
Thank you, Councilwoman Art. Councilman Rocha, floor is yours.
Yes. I didn't hear anything in the motion, and I would request that it be amended to include emergency vehicles. Did you specify anything about emergency vehicles in your motion, Council President?
Council President. Thank you, Chair Taylor. No, I didn't specify anything about the apparatuses. This is basically just to instruct the city manager and the director of planning and zoning to start the discussion with DLDOT to see what alternatives we may have in conjunction with the MPO plans. So just to start the discussion further.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the clarity, sir. I also was wondering that. Councilman Neal.
Basically, I think it's a question of discussion, and that is the key. Obviously, anyone who was elected new to this council would not be aware of the discussions that did take place, that funeral processions that used to park in front of the Betty Smith home could not do so because of the delineators. You're blocking traffic. You're absolutely stopping traffic at that time. But I think the fact that it is a discussion and that's it, because you're still having to deal with DLDOT, their rules and regulations. The alternative, I would think, would be to move around it so that there is some sort of option, whether it's a pad or whether it's something else, whether you're picking or going on to the sidewalk to do it, to keep the riders safe. There's no question in my mind that the delineators do keep riders safe. But the question is, can we get the riders around it so that they're safe by going through Ridgely or some other area in order to get back to where they need to go? So I would hope that this will pass, that we have at least a discussion on it, recognizing that there is a problem that does exist there.
Thank you, Councilman Neal. Councilwoman Art, the floor is yours.
Hearing the clarity on the motion, if it is to start discussions of possible alternatives, then I would be in support.
Thank you, Michael. Any more discussion? Seeing none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none. Motion passes. Final item on the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee meeting is adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Council President? The floor is yours.
Thank you, Councilman Taylor. That concludes tonight's Council Committee as a whole meeting. Therefore, the Council President would accept a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Everybody second. Moved by Councilman Hare, seconded by Councilman Bogarty. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. We have adjourned. Thank you. Good evening.